Did you guys hear about this Japanese restaurant where you get what the person before you ordered? I'm going to think about this. I think this is kind of a cool idea. It'd be interesting, I think. It'd be fun. It says, at this cafe, you get what the person before you ordered. And then the next person gets what you ordered. And I was thinking we could do that today in the, you know, food line later. I'll fill up my plate and just hand it to that person, and I just want to make sure I'm behind Jeff Stewart. So I get hooked up with a good selection of delectables. But it says the cafe has a few rules. Among them is you need to treat the next person, what to treat them with, it's your choice. No buying twice in a row. And then please enjoy what you get, even if you hate it. And it says, if you really, really hate it, you quietly give it to another person while saying, it's my treat. On October 3rd, 2004, Touchstone Christian Fellowship had its first Sunday morning worship service. And today, we're celebrating our five-year anniversary as a church. And the last 5 years have gone by really fast. It's hard to believe it is true. I can still remember that first Sunday morning as though it were just a few weeks ago. But the thing that really drove the truth of those 5 years home to me is watching that video and seeing the kids on there. Because we've watched babies grow into kids and kids grow into adults over the last 5 years, haven't we? Some of you who've been here this time, you go, man, look at how little he used to be. What I have to share with you today isn't new. In fact, it's purposely a repeat of what we have talked about at every Touchstone anniversary. See, Jesus has an ideal that he wants his church to continually to be aiming for. But human nature, being what it is constantly pulling us off course. So it's good for us to be reminded of what Touchstone is to be. Well, what is the vision of Touchstone? What are we trying to do and to be? Who are we? To say it as simple as possible, to be a New Testament church. That's it. To be a New Testament church. Now, on the surface, that may sound like a pretty simple thing, really not much to strive for, but when it's looked at from a biblical point of view rather than a worldly point of view, we see that it is as grand of a vision as any people could ever strive and aim for. To be a New Testament church. The reason that it fails to excite people when they hear that is because, one, the church has failed so often to be the church that Jesus intended it to be. And two, because people have a poor understanding of what Jesus intends the church to be. Jesus intends the church to be a new kind of community, unlike anything else in the world. The church is the body of Christ, and the instrument that God has created and chosen to work through to communicate his message of redemption and transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's how we state who we are on our website. Touchstone Christian Fellowship is a community of followers of Jesus Christ. We seek to live out in our time and culture the teachings and examples he gave us, and to share his message of hope with others. We welcome everyone, regardless of their place along life's path. To be a community of people who follow Jesus Christ, who live out in our own time and culture, the teachings and the examples that he gave us, to share his message of hope with others, to be open to any and all people, no matter who they are, where they come from, what color they are, how broken and damaged they are, how messed up and confused they are, is really to be all that God wants us to be. And there is no higher vision for any person than to fulfill God's will and plan for them. We've tried to state who we are in a more condensed and clever way with the phrase and the graphic that we have for the five-year anniversary, which you saw on the video earlier, and it's also on the t-shirts that are out in the lobby. Following the ancient path through a modern world. The ancient path is the Jesus path, the life of Christ, the teachings and the examples that he gave us, the Word of God. This is the ancient path that we're following. Through a modern world, meaning that we are seeking to follow his path in our own time and our own culture. It can be a real challenge to follow Jesus' path in our own day, not compromising his message in a misguided attempt to be accepted in the modern world, and at the same time to not restrict the living truth of Jesus Christ to our own cultural taboos and hang-ups. But that's what we're called to. The first church is our model for what church is supposed to be. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. If you've got your Bible, you can turn there. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching or to the word of God, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread or to worship and to prayer. These are sometimes referred to as the four pillars of the church, the word of God, fellowship, worship, and prayer. There's a word used in this verse that I want to call our attention to. It's the word devoted. The first followers of Jesus devoted themselves to these things. They gave themselves to these things. They dedicated themselves to these things. They were continually doing these things. The apostles' teaching, or more generally, the Word of God, they were constantly learning and putting into practice the Word of God. The fellowship. They were devoted to each other, supporting, encouraging, caring for one another. The breaking of bread, or more generally worship, the breaking of bread referred to here is the communion service that we've come to know over the years. They continually called to remembrance what Jesus had done for them in sacrificing himself and coming back to life on the third day. In other words, they kept the worship of the Lord Jesus at the center of their life together. And prayer, in addition to the drawing together to learn the Word of God, to encourage and support each other, to worship, they also prayed, both together and as individuals. For a church to be healthy and growing, it needs to be devoted to these things, doing all of these things, giving itself to all of these things, constantly involved in all of these things. Verse 43 says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. God was at work among these people. All the believers were together, and they had everything in common. They shared with each other. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. They sought to meet each other's needs. They took care of each other. They looked out for each other. Verse 46, every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They met together regularly and consistently. Church was not something that they went to on Sunday. Church was something that they were. They were the church. And the result was God's blessing. The church was growing, both in depth and in number. Something that is implicit within the description of the first church here in Acts 2, 42 through 47 is the idea that the church is a family. It is the family of God. And this is a very important idea that we have tried really hard to build into the culture of Touchstone. God has created a family for his people to be a part of, and that family is the church. A place for us to find acceptance and nurturing and security and accountability and guidance and encouragement and love. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. In other words, we're to help each other through life. Romans 12:15 says, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. In other words, participate in the lives of each other. Walk with each other through life. It's important for every member of this family to be an active participant in it. We talk about this too. Church is not a spectator sport. Everyone in the church is supposed to be on the playing field, in the game, in some way making a contribution to the whole. Every member of the family needs to be involved in the family's life. Otherwise, the whole family suffers. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Romans 12:4, Paul wrote, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. The power of the church is realized when everyone in the church is offering as an act of worship their lives, their gifts, their resources to God through the church to work out God's redemptive plan in the world. The mission statement for Touchstone Christian Fellowship from way back at the very beginning, and when we had room in the bulletin, we used to actually have this on the back of the bulletin, but we've spilled out all over the place in our bulletin now, and it had to get pushed off. But Ephesians 4, 11 through 16, says it was he, Jesus, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. The central idea of this passage is that every believer, every Jesus follower, every Christian, every person in the church has been called by God into ministry of some kind. There are works of service for every one of us to do. It's the job of the pastors and the teachers to prepare, to equip, to make ready God's people for these works of service, not to do all the works of service. So that God's people are doing their works of service. One of the fundamental goals at Touchstone is to see every believer in this church engaged in meaningful ministry, using your gifts, your talents, your interests, your resources to serve and to bless others, expressing God's grace in tangible ways, glorifying Christ with your life. Like I said a moment ago, church isn't a spectator sport. Everyone's supposed to be on the field, in the game, making a contribution. Then it says in verse 16 of this passage, then the church grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you haven't gotten in the game yet, you need to. You need to get off the bench and onto the field, man. Start playing the game. That's when the life-changing power of Jesus Christ will really begin to work in your life. Man, it gets dull just sitting there listening to some guy up here on a Sunday for an hour. It gets exciting when you get out there on the field. You start making plays. You get tackled. You get up. You do it again. That's when you get pumped up. That's when it gets fun. That's when your life really starts changing. Maybe you're asking yourself, well, you know, what can I do? Come on. We announce stuff all the time for ways to get involved around here. Don't be giving me that excuse. What am I going to do? Just open up the bulletin, man, and start reading a little bit. It's easy to get involved in stuff. We work really hard to make it easy for you to step onto the field, okay? You know, you just need to jump in and give it a try, something. Give something a try. You may not know it yet, but you may be the perfect person for holding a little one in the nursery. I mean, do you remember the video? Did you see Larry? Larry was holding that little guy, wasn't he? He was a perfect for that, too. Maybe that's your job. Maybe that's what God's calling you to do, too. And you know, once you start doing something, you might find that you want to do more. You might find that you want to do more. Because the satisfaction and joy that you get out of making a difference in someone else's life is something that you will want to experience again and again. Now, just in the last few moments that I have with you this morning, I want to take a quick second to introduce the board of directors of Touchstone for you. And I don't even know if they're all in here. Some of them are helping out with kids right now and things too. But if you guys would just stand up when I call your name, that would be good. And then you guys can just kind of look around. But I want to say first that the primary responsibilities of the board of directors are really three big ones. One is to manage and oversee the financial business of the church. Second is to make decisions on things that would be a potential conflict of interest for me as the senior pastor. For example, I don't set my salary. They do. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, I shouldn't be doing stuff like that for myself. And then last is to protect the church from leadership that is in conflict with the scriptures and the church's bylaws, in particular to protect the church from me. And again, that's a good thing. There needs to be checks and balances and protections built into the leadership structure of the church so that Christ is honored and followed always and not some man who's on some kind of who knows what ego trip, okay? The board of directors are Don Gilzean, who is the treasurer, Lucy Brown, who serves as the secretary, Greg Grant, Debbie Walker, Jody Barnett, Joe Soge, and then myself as the president. I think we have an excellent board of directors. You guys can sit down. I think we have an excellent board of directors. I'm proud to say and grateful to say that they're all members of the church and they're all committed followers of Jesus Christ. And each one brings a unique perspective to the decision-making process so that the combined result is something that we can all have confidence in. And I would just ask that you would please pray for your board of directors, for God's wisdom and guidance in making decisions on behalf of the church. One of the questions that comes up every once in a while when people manage to get me cornered alone somewhere is to ask about future building plans, our future home. So I want to give just a really brief overview of where we're at with that. One, first is in regards to the leases that we have right now. Our lease for this particular building on Sunday mornings, Carmichael Seventh-day Adventist Church, this lease runs through December of 2010. So we have a little bit more than a year left on this lease. And then our lease on the building that we use for the church offices and the midweek services at 4441 Auburn Boulevard, that lease runs concurrent with this one. So December 2010. Now, what happens after that? Well, our hope and our plan is that if the Lord wills, to have a new, more permanent home before those leases run out in December of 2010. We'd like to consolidate everything into a single location and have the space to do more kinds of ministry and outreach. Our current situation makes it difficult to do a lot of things that would be possible with a single, more permanent location. Examples, we could do vacation Bible school in the summers, for example. We could do after-school programs, homeschool support programs, concerts, presentations, films. You know, who knows? Stuff, depending on what the building was and the kind of facility that it would be, it would lend itself to things. The board of directors are working on a facility plan, which will try to quantify our needs for a new location. In very general terms, what we're looking for is probably about 8,000 to 10,000 square feet of building space. Adequate parking, which is something that a lot of standard office-type buildings don't have, unfortunately. There are a number of buildings that they look great until you get there and there's not nearly enough parking space to accommodate a church. The other thing that's hard to find is adequate ceiling height and clear space in the area that would serve as an auditorium. Again, this is something that is difficult to find in just your standard garden variety office building that's out there. Many of them don't have adequate ceiling height nor clear space in an area that would serve as an auditorium. The general location would most likely be along the Business 80 corridor, where we're at now, between Cal Expo and Madison Avenue, generally on the south side of the freeway. Kind of a soft boundary, not necessarily a hard boundary, but that's generally the location that we're in now. And we would most likely stay in the general area. So, you're sitting there going, dude, I got the perfect place. See, Greg. In closing this morning, I want to say, God has been exceedingly good to us, hasn't he? Yes, amen. Words can't express how great his works have been among us, and I encourage you to please share his goodness with your brothers and sisters in Christ even today. Share your stories and what God has done in your life today. I want to thank you personally for the privilege and honor of being your pastor these 5 years. I am genuinely grateful to be a part of such an awesome group of people. The church God has created through you is a very beautiful thing. You are making the Church of the New Testament a reality in the 21st century. The Lord is very pleased with you. He loves you very much, and so do I. I close with this scripture passage out of Hebrews 10. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the work that you are doing in our lives through the church. God, we are just so grateful to be part of what you're doing in this world, what you're doing in each other's lives. We're thankful to be part of the body of Christ. Lord, help each one of us to step fully into what you've called us to give ourselves fully to those things that you desire for us. May you help each of us find our place in the body of Christ to glorify you with our life. In Jesus' name, amen.